You know who comes to mind when I think of the person that is spoken of in this letter that we call Onesimus? I'll tell you who comes to mind when I think of Onesimus. The Rolling Stones. Yeah, yeah. The Rolling Stones come to mind. Now, some of you are going to go psychedelic here for a second. But do you remember? Remember the song? I can't get no satisfaction. I can't sing this song. Remember the lyrics? I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try. Say it with me. And I try, but I can't get no. Right? Some of you are there. You were upstate New York. You remember. Don't tell it all, though. Now, why do I think of the Stones when I think of Onesimus? Well, for a lot of reasons. Onesimus had a contractual agreement with Philemon. There's good reason to believe that he made a wage, that he signed a document stating how long he would serve as an indentured servant. Paul refers to him as a slave, but we can't think of race-based American slavery. And so he made a commitment. But somewhere along the way, Onesimus lost his way. Somewhere along the way, Onesimus got an idea about what he wanted. Somewhere along the way, Onesimus felt like this agreement, just he didn't want it. It didn't satisfy him. And he wanted out. He thought something else would satisfy him, like so many people. And so he made his own way, and he made off on his own way with some of Philemon's belongings, either cash or something that he could get cash for, and off he went to Rome, hoping to find what it was he was looking for. But, as the stones say, I can't get no satisfaction. It just wasn't there. It was elusive. This something that he was reaching for, dreaming about, hoping for, grasping for. This satisfaction. He tries and he tries and he tries and he tries. But it's not there. Well, how do we know? Well, because he winds up in the company of Paul. Now, where is Paul? He's in prison. Now you do the math. You put two and two together. Now, he either runs into Paul because he too is in prison, or he runs into Paul on purpose because whatever he was going to Rome to find, it just wasn't there. Maybe he heard Paul was there. He remembered Paul from Philemon's days. We don't really know, but we do know this, that he ends up in the company of Paul, and Paul speaks to him and says, Onesimus, I know why you can't get no satisfaction. I know you keep trying and trying and trying and trying, but there is no true satisfaction in the things of this world. The women, the wine, the success, whatever it is that you're seeking, the attention, the fame, the whatever you're after, it's empty, Onesimus. It's empty. That's what I taught Philemon. That's what Philemon came to understand. And that's why there's a church that meets in his house, and that's what you ran away from. But what you're looking for was right there at home all the time. And so we know that Paul comes to a place in talking with Onesimus that he feels led to say, Onesimus, why don't you place your trust in Jesus Christ? Why don't you leave all the emptiness? Everything that you think is going to bring you satisfaction, why don't you leave it all behind and trust, put your trust in the only one who brings true satisfaction? And Paul leads Onesimus to Jesus. Onesimus comes to realize what St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find its rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. And so Onesimus comes to understand what Paul taught Philemon, and possibly what Philemon was trying to teach him. It finally sinks in, but it kind of took the long way around. He had to learn that the hard way. And there are so many stories just like that. Onesimus came to understand the beauty of the word forgiven. I hope that you love this word. Onesimus grew to love this word. He grew to understand the grace that brings forgiveness. He grew to understand his own sense of identity in Jesus and an understanding of God's plan for his life. But he first had to wrestle with this issue of being unsatisfied, being empty, knowing that his heart was restless, but also that it could only be filled with Jesus, that it could only find its rest in Christ. And so this story then takes a great turn, because Onesimus, instead of ruining his life, ends up allowing God to put it all together. One of the takeaways from the letter of Philemon is this, that we are all Onesimus. Every single person, every one of you, every one of us, it includes me. We are all Onesimus. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all gone our own way. We've all done our own thing. We've all tried to seek for satisfaction in empty jars and broken jars of clay. We've all looked for what only God can provide in earthly things, in pleasure and money and recognition or praise or many other things. We're all Onesimus. And the beauty of this truth in this letter is that, and by God's grace, we can all be Philemon. You see, we can be both. One of the great stories that comes out of this letter is the very probable truth that Onesimus takes this letter back to Philemon. Philemon receives Onesimus, reads the letter, sits down, has a talk with Onesimus, recognizes what Paul is saying is true, and he blesses Onesimus, not just by forgiving him, but acknowledging him as a brother, an equal, and very probably giving him a place in the church, and blessing him and saying, Onesimus, you can't see yourself as a slave. You need to see yourself as a brother in Christ, upon whom the Holy Spirit has fallen, and you have received gifts from the Holy Spirit, and you are to use those gifts for the blessing of the kingdom of God. Now, the letters of Ignatius, many years later, reveal something. That in Ephesus, there is a bishop Ignatius is being let off to be a martyr for the gospel. And in his letters, he speaks of a bishop in Ephesus whose name is Onesimus. And he writes a little story. And in a sense, he's saying, hey, world, the bum has become a bishop. Onesimus, the bum, the lying, stealing, runaway bum, is the bishop of the church of Onesimus. This great man of God was not always a great man of God. Onesimus, whose name means useful. Write that down. The name Onesimus in Greek means useful. It means profitable. That's why Paul, it's a play on words. Paul says, hey, Philemon, Onesimus wasn't exactly useful to you. He wasn't himself. He wasn't his name. But he is now. But now he's useful to me. He wasn't Onesimus to you, but now he's Onesimus to me. He's useful to me. And he will be useful to you as well. The bum has become a bishop. I have some questions for you. What were you like in high school? No, better yet, what were you like in college? You know, I made reference to the stones on purpose to get the juices flowing. What were you like in college? Here's another way of putting it. Did you do anything in your 20s that you regret? Go ahead, write them down. I'm waiting. Now let me ask you this. Who was the person that believed in you and had confidence that you would grow up and be a different person? Who is the person who looked at you and looked past your foolishness and thought, I see the person that God will make out of this character, and I believe in him or I believe in her, and I will trust him, I will trust her to do some significant things, some meaningful things. Who was that person? Write that name down. Who was that person? Not everyone is like that. Some people will chain you to your past. Some churches will chain you to your past. I know some churches, I pastored at least one of them, who chain people to their past. Won't let them do anything, won't vote for them. Well, you should have known them in their 20s, right? You remember them in college. You remember what, you know, what she did, or remember what he was like. And then they just never let that person get beyond who they were way back when, even though now they're in their 50s. That's why some people just switch churches, because their home church will never let them be who God is transforming them into. And it's their loss. So here's a question for Trinity Church. Is Onesimus welcome in Trinity Church? Is the prodigal allowed to come home? That's a good question for us in our parenting. As Christians, we raise children. They don't always do things that we're proud of. When they don't behave like we want them to, it may be embarrassing, and we may punish them for embarrassing us. We may punish them because they wound our pride. They make us look bad. And somehow we send them a message. You cannot come home. That would be a mistake. The prodigal should always be allowed to come home. Onesimus should always be allowed to be in the church. Why? Because I'm Onesimus. As a young person, I was the biggest squirrel in Clarion County. I was crazy. I drove people crazy. I still drive people crazy. I'm Onesimus. You are Onesimus. And so, yeah, he ought to be allowed to be in Trinity Church. The prodigal ought to be allowed to come home. And you ought to be a person who looks at Onesimus like Philemon and says, that's not who you are anymore. I believe that God is making and will make a different man out of you, a different person out of you. And so I'm going to believe God and entrust the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life such that we're going to put you in places where God can use you. And we're not going to shame you. We're not going to tie you to the post of your past and make you feel bad all of your life. What does Onesimus' life teach us about Christianity? Three things, very quickly. Christianity is about a God who loves us and is always pursuing our hearts. The Holy Spirit is always at work around us. And in the case of the prodigal or the unbelieving man or woman, the Holy Spirit is always at work trying to create a scenario where that individual will humble themselves and come to faith. Onesimus thought he was running away to Rome. Running from God, running from Philemon, going and embracing a life that he wanted, that would satisfy him, only to find disappointment and emptiness, and then to find himself in the presence of Paul, who talked to him about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. God is pursuing our hearts. Your child who isn't a Christian, your neighbor who isn't a Christian, your friend from high school who still isn't a Christian, God is pursuing their hearts. Here's what we know about Onesimus, and here's what we know about ourselves and others. We can run, but we can't hide. Wherever we run, God is there to greet us. Amen? God is there to greet us, reminding us that Jesus loves us. Onesimus happened to be wise enough to sense this and commit his life to Christ. Are you? Are you wise enough to sense this? What are the odds that Onesimus would run into Paul? Not very high, except if you're talking to God. God is sovereign and is in control. Onesimus came to realize this, that God loved him and was pursuing him and wanted him to give his heart to Jesus. And so that's what Onesimus did. His prayer might have been something like this: Lord Jesus, I give myself over to you in my heart's search for life. You alone are life, and you have become my life. I renounce all other gods, every idol, and I give you, Jesus, the place in my heart and in my life that you truly deserve. Maybe you're here today and that's exactly what you need to pray. Maybe this message is a message where you recognize God is pursuing your heart. You are Onesimus. And you can be a Philemon. Christianity is about a God who loves us and is always pursuing our hearts. However, Christianity is not escapism. Paul has a talk with Onesimus and says, listen, we have an issue. We have an integrity issue here. You're a Christian now? That's wonderful. You're able to work with me. You're able to serve me. You're able to be a partner in the gospel. You're a brother. You're a son in the gospel. You're a brother to Philemon. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. You're not a slave in God's eyes. All of this is true. But Onesimus, we have an integrity issue here. You have unfinished business with your master Philemon, and you need to go home. You need to go deal with this because you robbed him, you ran away, you broke your contract. You need to go make things right. Now here, as you go, I'm going to write a letter for you. I want you to go and look Philemon in the eye and deal with it, man to man. Deal with your issues. You see, Christianity isn't about escaping your trouble. In Christ, our sins are forgiven, for sure. But we are not free to ignore or escape from our past issues. Rather, we are given the courage and the resources to face our issues and the people connected to them. Christianity is never escape. It is always conquest. The Bible teaches us the liberating power of forgiveness and the responsibilities of those who are forgiven. And so what does it mean? It means as a Christian, there are some people I need to apologize to. There are some people I need to go back to and say, listen, the way I behaved, the way I spoke, what I did, it was wrong. I wasn't following Christ. I wasn't listening to the Lord in my life. I was doing my own thing. I was selfish, and I know I hurt you. Maybe you feel like, hey, I owe somebody money or whatever. Let the Holy Spirit do that. One man, divorced, remarried, becomes a Christian, feels in his spirit that he owes his ex-wife an apology. So he speaks to his current wife and says, I don't know what to do with this. What do I do about this? And she says, I think you need to talk to her. I think you just need to say whatever it is God thinks you need to say and leave it at that and do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, but I give you that permission. Now, you might think, well, that's really weird. Well, a lot of things God might ask us to do are really weird. And I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but I'm saying that being a Christian or becoming a Christian is not an excuse to run away and ignore the life that we lived in the past. And some things we need to make right. Even if it's just being man enough or woman enough to look someone in the eye and say, I was very selfish. For some men, like Zacchaeus, it's about forking out some dough. It's about saying, listen, on that contract, on this contract, I screwed you out of a bunch of money. And so I'm here to somehow make it right. I don't know how to do that, but let's talk. That's what it means. Christianity is not escapism. And here's the problem with leaving anything. The problem with leaving anything is that you have to take yourself with you. Right? You have to take yourself with you. And that was Onesimus' problem. He took himself to Rome. And he got in the same trouble there that he did with Philemon. Finally, Christianity transforms character. And it offers meaning and significance. It offers hope. It offers peace. It offers purpose. It gives a person a meaningful, significant reason to live. In Christ, the useless become useful. The unprofitable, profitable. The thief, becomes an honest man. The lazy man becomes industrious. Onesimus is now his name, meaning useful or profitable. He is his name literally and in his character. And it brings 2 Corinthians 5 to mind. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. James Denny said, Christianity has the power which can make bad men good. And that was true for Onesimus. Now, as we close this up, we're all Onesimus, right? Every one of us. We all need Jesus.